Yeah.
You working out?
I'd like you to have everybody's attention. Welcome, everybody, and thank you for coming on this beautiful day. You'd rather be out boating, swimming, fishing, or whatever, but thank you for coming to this meeting. Just a couple of notices and some special events coming up, particularly next Saturday, that you might want to spread around to your neighborhoods. Number one is herd.
Microphone.
No, it wasn't working.
Oh.
I'm not the technical person, but I'm the technical person. I have to be as loud as I possibly can. So on July 2nd, Herdville is having their pancake breakfast after 2.5 years and their yard sale, which is all done by donation and a bake sale. Following that, you can come over to the market at 10. There's 60-plus vendors, and they have a Canada Day celebration at the market. You can then come up to the library and celebrate their 40th anniversary in the library from 10 to 1, so it's a pretty busy day. The other thing that's important is for children, in July, mid-July, is the Kids Fishing Derby, which they have 80 kids usually fishing for large fish. The largest was this big last year. And they all get prizes, and they'll have a wonderful day. So those are things that are coming up shortly, and we are doing swimming lessons. So if anybody has anybody that wants to learn to swim, just register at the office. We are looking for 3 students to help our public works department. We haven't got anybody applied, so we're short. It's the first time it's ever happened. So if you know anybody who's looking for some work up here, contact the office.
How old do they have to be?
I presume it's 18. But I don't know. I presume
usually
it's
18.
18.
Usually 18 and 24 for that section.
Is that what it says? 18?
Yeah, you have to be like a registered.
No, we said no applicants at this, at least as of yesterday. Yes.
Could you use the microphone, please?
It won't. It doesn't work. I haven't figured out how to work it.
Well, we need somebody to make it work because there's somebody here who can't hear you. Perhaps they will.
Can they come on up here and sit right beside me?
I'm suspecting they don't want to be that one. Would you? It's a microphone. How 2.5 years later do we have a microphone that doesn't work?
That's not going to be difficult. We can solve this.
If somebody wasn't come up or figure out how to work it, I've been working for an hour this morning trying to get it working. I think that so it's not too much of trying, but I'm not technical. So if anybody wants to work it, then that's fine. Try different plugs, different buttons.
No, I thought it was good. I asked you.
All right, we're going to continue while we're trying to get this worked out. So I need a mover and a seconder to approve the agenda. You've got mover?
Wanda.
Wanda, second. Any discussion? All approved? All question? Approved? Okay, so I just want to do a couple of opening remarks and do some involvement things. Just thanks for coming to this. It's the second meeting, actually, of the committee. One was held last summer. But we're looking for a Maiden McKellar solution to the cottage rental situation that will actually work, be enforceable, add value, and ensure McKellar is a friendly, welcoming community that supports and protects our environment and respects a positive sense of community. Yeah, in 12 years, I've probably read every document in rentals, been to conferences, workshops, and it's a hot topic for everyone. I can guarantee you that in every municipality that I've been to. Everyone has an opinion. Unfortunately, there are not many success stories with dealing with rentals. So to me, we have to find an educational way, a legal way, a pragmatic way to deal with cottage rentals moving forward. Our task is to understand the background, look at the facts, look for successful programs, and find a Maiden McKellar solution. Today, we want to make sure that all opinions are heard. Even though we may hear some differences, which I'm sure we will, proper decorum and respect of each other will prevail. To me, overall, when I look at this whole topic, how do we legislate respect to people renting? Respect for our environment, respect for our neighbors, respect for our bylaws. That's something that's difficult to legislate, but it's something we have to deal with. There are lots and lots of materials to go through at the desks. There you have the CBO's report from our last meeting in June. And that's a lot of background, history, legal opinions, planning decisions, planning opinions, etc., of where we are. We are now waiting for our bylaw officer to make his report, and hopefully both those people will be at our next meeting to answer any questions. But there's so much reading to do that it would be better to get you time to familiarize yourself with all the stuff in order to ask those questions to the staff members who have some information for you. So, I really want to thank you for your interest and your participation. This is the beginning of hopefully an answer we can do before the next year, preserve it. Okay, so what I'd like to do is have the committee.
I'm sorry.
But I'm going to have the committee introduce themselves.
Kimberly Tenholzi, I'm co-secretary. Vanessa McBride, co-secretary.
Douglas Hunt, resident of McCowan Township, private prison owner, and just a member of this committee representing neighbors and everyone in the township.
Wanda
Muirhead,
I own the property. I'm a member of
Thank you. Just to give you a very brief history of rentals, it sort of started before 2010, before my time on here. So there was the Wide Reach project, some people may remember, some people may not remember. That was a big condo development that was going to go in on Manitowoc. There was quite a hue and cry. However, anyway, it got thrown out, defeated through the public input because of the potential effect on the capacity of the lake, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So So at that time, they sort of developed a thing that they didn't want commercial development on the waterfront, so in a rental capacity. So that's sort of where that those concepts came from. And then from there, in the first term, the council came up, we sent out letters to everybody who we thought had rentals and to say that they're not supposed to be doing them. So that's all we did. The next council, our former CBO, we decided to charge a person and find out through the court system if we could get a judge's opinion that our bylaw is valid. Anyway, that went on for over four years without any resolution moving into the third term of council. Third term of council felt that it was costing an awful lot of money. We had to change lawyers. There was all sorts of other things going on that were around. We didn't think we could get a decision made on our bylaw at that point. So we withdrew our complaint. So in the meantime, the Environmental Committee was started, and they identified 10 issues. Okay, and rentals was one of the key issues besides septics and lake capacity and all those things that we've seen in that report. So out of that report from our Lake Stewardship Association, we formed tried to form a rental committee last summer. So that met once. And then we had resignations and a bit of turmoil, and we're back trying to bring it back to for this summer, particularly for the summer, people to be involved with the decision. So we're back to sort of square one with trying to get a lot of documentation to everybody so they're informed and we can make informed decisions and informed resolutions that will eventually have to all go to council for approval. So that's sort of the where we're at in some of the background. So, are there any questions up until then, just on that, and just a bit of the background, so I can do some fun stuff. Okay.
Is there a question here?
Oh, I'm sorry.
I would like to stress something to the public that is stressed to us on the ad hoc committee, which is, even though we put in some hours and some time and some research, and we talk to people, and we try and get the word out as best we can, it's even hard for us sometimes to understand that what the ad hoc committee approves and votes on and wants in representation to the public and in our township, the council is in no way obligated to accept any of our ideas, adopt any of our solutions. We are simply a fact-finding body that presents information and suggestions. So we may vote on something that you approve of, and council may not approve of what our suggestion is, even though there might be a massive support for what we're saying, you may not get it. So we need to understand that the committee has no power. We only take the ideas and information that we can, sort it out, and present it. And then it's up to your councilors and mayor to take it through council and approve what they choose to approve. And that may be counter or supportive of what this committee says.
Yeah, the other critical one for me for this particular issue is that we have to have complete community involvement.
Yeah.
I'm a community involvement person anyway, so we have to have input from everybody because everybody has an opinion. There was a study done by the MLCA. That's in the big package here. It's also going to, it's all online as well. So it was a study done in 2018, I believe. So there is a whole study done by the participants of the MLCA. So all that documentation is there. Maybe outdated now, we don't know, but maybe we have to do a new survey. I don't know. That's up to the committee to decide. So anyway, I want to pick your brains. I want to find out where you stand. And I want to find out what you think. So for the next 15-20 minutes is going to be an involvement session. And so I'm going to do the first thing. It's called Where Do You Stand? Okay, so what I'm going to do is just make a statement, and if it affects you, just stand up. Then you can look around and see where other people are. So, if you're ready to get involved, the very first one is, you have an opinion on cottage rentals. You do? Stand up. Thank you. Good. You all passed the first one. The next one is, you think that cottage rentals should be banned. Stand up. Okay, look around the room. Look around the room. Just a statement. If you don't agree, you don't have to worry about votes or anything. This is just standing up. Yeah, we're going to get into discussion and questions after. So, third one is, you think cottage rentals should be allowed? Look around. Okay, thank you. You think cottage rentals should be controlled?
Yes.
Look around. Just see what. Just trying to get you thinking a little bit. Okay, thank you. And a really good question. Everybody's going to stand up for this one, guaranteed. You think you have an answer to cottage rentals? Well, that didn't help, did it? Okay. All right. Thank you for that. So we'll get to those answers as we go through. The next one's called value vote taking. So I'm going to read a statement. Okay? And then I'm going to say together, vote. And if you agree with the statement, you put your thumb up. If you disagree with the statement, you put your thumb down. If you really disagree with the statement, or agree with the statement, you stir it up. If you don't, you stir it down. And then I want you to look across the room and see who's doing this. And you get some ideas. So this is, but you have to, can't vote until I say vote. Okay, we'll try the first one. Cottage rentals are good for McKellar. Vote. Thumbs up, thumbs down. Look around.
Excuse me, here.
Okay, there you go.
Here. Do you mean illegal cottage rentals?
No, I didn't say it would make any judgment one way or the other.
Let me finish.
Okay. Cottage rentals are bad for McKellar. Thumbs up, thumbs down. If you're not sure, you go in your ear, by the way, just in case.
Yeah, I'll just leave it here.
Okay. We need to enforce cottage rental laws. Vote. Look around. Okay, thank you. We need to find a way to educate owners and guests on respect for the McKellar. Vote.
Wow.
I thought I'd see a lot of this. I haven't seen this and I haven't seen much of that. And the last one is that we can find a Made McKellar solution to cottage rentals. Vote.
Can you repeat that again?
We can find a Made in McKellar solution to cottage rentals. Vote.
We have to.
Good. I'm glad people are optimistic about it. Okay, I'm going to do group work now. So if you want to be on your own, you want to join a group, that's fine. We've got three little exercises to do. It'll take 5 minutes for each one. And then we'll get some feedback. The first issue is to write down the issues and concerns regarding cottage rentals on the sheets that you've been given. So make down all the bullet points of your issues and concerns on
dealing.
There's paper. There's two sheets of paper in every table. So just write down.
Oh, I'm not using it.
Oh, I'm sorry. I want each member of the committee to go and sit in the paper.
Oh.
Big bullets. Bullet points. You got 1 minute.
Thank you.
Okay, we're moving into exercise number two, and we'll take them up as we go. The second one is to jot down all the positive aspects of cottage rentals in McKellen. It may be a shorter list, I don't know, it's up to you, but anything that's good about cottage rentals in McKellen. 5 minutes.
Thank you.
Take them all up, is to itemize what we need to find a Mayne and McKellar solution to cottage rentals, whether it's education, legal, enforcement. What are the top priorities that we have to deal with? My opinion. What are you doing? Looking at what we need to do as a community to find a Mayne and McKellar solution to cottage rentals. What are your thoughts?
Yeah.
1 minute. Brainstorming sessions, and there's rules about ideation sessions, and that is there's no criticism of any idea. You may laugh, you may but no verbal criticism of any idea, even though you might disagree. These are ideas being generated. We're going to collate them. They'll be part of the minutes. You'll get them all back. Then you might use some of it or all of it or whatever we're going to do. So I'm going to start with this group over here with question number one, which was the issues and concerns regarding things. If you would just stand up and speak to the group.
The first one was impact expenses, so that goes for policing, emergency services, waste disposal, so forth. Fire ratings and so forth, a lot of people who are not residents don't know what fire ratings are going on. Might have a fire when there's a fire ban and so forth. Fireworks
were
another one that was mentioned.
Okay, thank you. Group back there. Anything you want to add to it?
I think that should do it. It's more conversation, so maybe you want to jump to the next.
So you had nothing to report back on anything? Anything different or add to it?
No, I think they covered the bad.
Okay, that's fine. That's fine. Let's group here.
Our committee members.
We went with the respect for the property, not only the renter's property, but the neighbor's property, environmental, again, no fishing laws being followed, urination wherever they want, and the big one was the noise complaint, pollution and garbage, lots of finding stuff on the shoreline. And the one gentleman, he's on a private road, so if anything happens, it's on them. It's a private road.
Good point. At the back. Anything to add to those things?
So I think notes from that road there.
Oh.
So it was number of people at the cottage. Some
have capacity.
Capacity.
Yeah. Okay, the large group at the back must have lots of questions.
Many have been covered. We have lost a sense of community, noise, which I guess is addressed, property values, both negative and positive, and septic impact, which was sort of said, I think, here with septic, right? garbage on the road.
Okay, great.
The only thing I think you guys have spoken about, the use of residential building code for commercial purposes, like just don't meet the requirements to of all the stress on the environment, like septic systems, pollution, things like that, or even just building code in general.
Yeah, smoke alarms.
Smoke alarms, and tax base too, right? So if someone is running a commercial operation, full-time rental, well, it shouldn't be taxed as a residence, so it should be taxed by it.
Yeah, good point.
Yeah, pay for the system and the enforcement.
Sure. A lot of things that covered the noise and fire. What I didn't hear was trespassing, people coming onto your property for different reasons, with information or any kind of indication that they're willing to communicate with you beforehand. Security of the property is that's a fairly large umbrella statement that has been covered, basically. So I've had a couple of the personal ones that I can attest to myself. I've had trespassers, I've had people come on my property and steal my firewood. I've had people stealing my pedal boat.
You've had them enter our party as we're sitting there.
Wow!
Yes.
Yeah.
They've been looking for a
party. Hey, is your party here?
Yeah. For years, the things
traffic's been mentioned. I didn't hear garbage. They seem to leave garbage around because they paid somebody to do it for them, and that person is paid to come and clean up the property. Doesn't always get there in time. It may be hours that after they leave, or it may be days before the staff gets there to clean up the place. The renters, I didn't hear disrespect. We've heard we have to respect the renters, but we haven't heard anything, and I haven't seen any renters in my area. I have three large rentals within 500 feet of my cottage. I'm on both sides of it. I'm covered. I think there's a larger percentage of. I think there's a large percentage of the renters who cause a spike or an increase in the usage of the township's resources. And those resources are the building inspector, the roads people, and our bylaw officer. And I would like to see some stats coming from our bylaw officer as to how many calls he gets on the telephone about any or all of these issues. And of course, as mentioned, about the tax base, where they've been taxed residentially, and they're actually making. Huge amounts of dollars in the case of one of the properties next to me for certain. So I think that's pretty much what we got.
We do have a bylaw officer's report from 2018, but it lists all the rental properties and names, and that has to be redacted. We can't give up that information. So I've asked him to give us stats on the number of calls he's had and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So we'll get some more current information, yes.
Is there a way that the bylaw officer knows that the complaints are 100% renters versus the number of residents?
It's complaint-driven, so usually people are complaining about renters or noise or fire or whatever, yes.
Okay.
Well, that's what we're trying to get all that data.
Yep.
I'm sure we have that department. The other one that I didn't hear comes up is that in my listening to a variety of things is that the renters don't have a property manager.
I'm sorry, proper what?
Property manager to help with all that sort of stuff.
Absolutely.
So it's absenteeism, and it really causes a whole bunch of complicated problems.
Right.
So just that's one that's it. Okay, let's go to positive aspects of cottage rental. Let's start over here. We'll go reverse there.
We come up, the answer is none.
Thank you. I thought it'd be a shorter conversation for some, but over here we'll start. What'd you guys talk about? Go ahead.
Okay.
There's gotta be some.
Okay, so we put employment like landscaping, property management, house like cottage cleaning, like on a computer, whatever, right? tourism, support local businesses. I'm on Manitowoc or in McKellar, so it's like Scoobies. They're putting money back into the Ridge. They're putting money back into, the store, McKellar store, all these little shops, restaurants, whatever, that sometimes you can't afford as locals, right? But it's like everything's going up. It provides cottagers, snowbirds, when they go away, it provides money income for them, as, costs are rising for everybody. It's also an alternative for camping and cabins on our lake. We have four winds, so, if people don't want to, rent the little cabins or camping, they rent the cottages. And before you want to come into this community, I know a lot of people, my brother, friends, family, who have rented on the lake just to get a sense of the community, a sense of the lake, different lakes. So that's a positive. You're trying to, get a feel of this great community that we have. So that's our positive.
Thank you.
We had two. We had increased employment and some renters become homeless.
Okay. Back group here.
There we go. So we had that some of the owners would update the properties to make them more better looking. Possible future owners. Positive value added to the properties because people might come back and buy properties. We already heard that. And people who would never be able to afford a cottage get a chance to experience the cottage life. And I'm not talking about teenagers coming in and partying all weekend. I'm talking about families coming in and enjoying the weekend a week at the cottage that they will never be able to experience. And somebody mentioned the improvement of infrastructure. Who paid for the improvement of Highway 124? So it's from taxes, it's provincial, but it makes it more accessible for everybody.
Okay.
Did I miss anything?
No. Actually,
what do I do
with this? Oh, no, we did the same thing. The only thing we came up with is the income for cleaners. You can get them.
Yeah.
The two gas stations, corner store, the liquor store, Scoobies, landscaping. That's it. We can come up with anything other than income for
the other existing legal businesses.
Okay. Back. Bye. Nothing to add?
Nothing to add on top of what people said.
Okay.
Right.
We all were the same, yeah. I mean, there's impacts back and forth. Okay. The one I do hear is that some of the, what I call mom and pop rentals, it helps them offset the taxes. And so they might rent for 2 weeks or something. That helps offset things that they rent them to their family. From what I've heard, a lot of the smaller, just little family things aren't the major problem. It's the mega, the mega ones are the major problems. And we know where they are. So, okay. All right, the last one is to what solutions are you going to come up with? So let's start over in your group and your solutions. Definition of short-term rental? Right?
Yeah.
That's a good point.
Yeah. And the law.
Hmm?
And the laws. Bylaws.
The bylaws, yeah.
And then waterfront rental is
I know what it says. Yeah.
You know, I know.
I don't know. Yeah.
You put all cars in my mind.
Yeah. Yes. Michael, your group back there? Anything to add? Solutions. I mean, looking at ideas that we can explore.
I think what I want to say is that more than the solution, the benefit of doing that, the benefit of solving these things is that all of these problems, if we were now in a situation that it's already allowed and the discussion here was should we ban it or should we continue to allow it, then I think that it's valid, all of these bad things that we are raising, and all of them are valid. The problem right now is that all of these bad things that we are saying is in a situation where it's not allowed, and we cannot, as a township, we have, from what you said about that case in court, we have no way of actually dealing with that. If we had a way, then in the last 12 years, you said from 2010, we were already coming up with those solutions and asking these people, because right now to find those people, it's not a problem. I can open Airbnb this second and find you all the houses in McAllen that have a problem. So if we had a good way to solve all of these bad things, perfect. I think that the way to solve it is to, not because, you know, I'm not doing that, I live here full time, I'm not a cottage owner, just a cottage owner that lives in the city, but I think that the way to do it is to actually educate people. And if you work with people and you say to people, maybe you should mark your property lines better because people are coming to you, maybe put some sign about fire rating. Some people, I'm sure that if you ask some of the people that are renting houses right now in Airbnb, they don't even know that they should ask the township whether they are allowed to do it or not. They don't even know about the bylaws. They don't even know what waterfront zoning means. We know, obviously, because we care enough and we are here in this meeting, but a lot of people don't know that. So my biggest benefit of doing that is the fact that we will be able to solve all the things in a situation that it's not allowed. Right now there is no way to say, okay, you know what, let's not allow it, because we're just going to stay in the same situation.
Yeah.
That's very well said.
Harvard group leader?
Yep, please.
We have increased enforcement, rezoned. If the cottages have to be rezoned as commercial, with regulations. And all members of the community that are tax-based people should have a survey stating what they want, what they don't want, what is working, what is not working, so that everybody has a voice, not just to select people, because I'm sure that there are people out there that have the best Airbnb beside them would have no interest in this. Correct? And to identify, we need to identify the buildings, that the proper buildings and the good ones. Ask the good ones, what is working? What works for you? And the education. Like they said, there's fires going all the time. Last night we had fireworks. There's a high fire rating, and there's fireworks going on. So it's more of an education, and we need to get that bylaw officer answering his phone for one.
Right.
Yeah.
He needs to answer his phone. I know he has paid very little for this, but if you cannot contact him after hours, what good is it? Like the
we used to have a bylaw officer that said phone me 24 hours,
yes,
and I will respond at any time during those 24 hours. And he did. And he was very assertive for noise and that kind of type of thing. Now, he's retired. Now, I don't know what happened between him and the next guy that came on, but the level of service this guy's doing is totally offside. There's problems in this community, and they're not being resolved. And the bylaw officer, it falls on him, but it also falls on the committee to make sure the bylaw officer does it. So that's something that should be addressed,
Just so you know, it was addressed yesterday. We just rewrote the contract for the bylaw officer with on-call, critical on-call all the time, 24/7.
That's the way it is now? But then you got to talk to him, because that isn't the way it is.
No, we just finished it yesterday morning. It's going to be approved in the July meeting, but that's what we did.
Sorry.
But being approved in the July meeting is too late for community.
No, but he's been directed to that, but it's ongoing. So
he was probably busy addressing the four complaints that I called in at 12:30 at night and 3:30 and 4 o'clock in the morning. live on Burnett's Road across from Garden View, where a big part of the palace is.
Yeah.
And I'm sorry, I'm fed up with it. So that was last week. There had to be, I'd say, 15 to 16, 20 to 30-year-old males there.
I counted them. My wife and I counted. There's 22 people on that property.
Was there?
There was 11 vehicles. And you would have heard the drinking songs.
Oh,
jump, 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 jump.
Absolutely. And so the one time I did call, it was at, I think, 11:30 that night. And you know what? I have to say, he's responded every time I've called. I don't know if I show up on his post lady. He figures, okay, well, there is her. 11:30 at night, and he said, yeah. He called me back, and he said, okay, well, I called people that are there, and they said that they were just hooting and hollering because it was an end of a game. So it was a hockey game, football, I don't know, some game, and they were just hooting and hollering at the end of the game, and I'm thinking, this was at about 12 o'clock, 11:30, 12 o'clock, when I called that time. I said to him, I said, I'm not sure that's quite the truth, because I've been hearing them right up until, you know, that time. And I'm hesitant to call, because I don't want to be that person either, but I'm sorry, 4 o'clock in the morning, and it's still going on. Hey, I got a peaceful morning, because they're all sleeping until 2 o'clock in the afternoon. That's what you got to be. Mm-hmm. You know what? I don't want to
get back to it. We can get back to it.
Yeah, let's. We're going to get to the conversation in a second, but I understand the seriousness of the issues and the problem. So, any group not reported?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry.
So,
I lost track.
We have a member of Regulate the System, with fees and licenses for the properties. Bylaw enforcement, so we need a bylaw enforcement and have maybe additional money if we create enough fees and licenses money to have additional support for the bylaw officer. That places need septic and fire inspections and make sure that they are covered by proper insurance for rental properties.
There's been some packages put out too that some people have. When you go there, they have a list of regulations, septic regulations, parking regulations, fire regulations. So it's like when you go to a hotel, there's all the safety regulations in a booklet. Maybe we need something like that to do it if we're going to allow them or not.
I think that's one of the things that's been done. I think the renter could be required to read that and sign off on it. So then
that's what I warned.
When the bylaw officer gets there, they've already been warned.
Yeah. And the other thing is, just not.
No, that's the next thing. You need increasing fines for like that.
The other thing is, but it's not just the renters, it's the owners that we have to deal with from a fine point of view, et cetera, from an educational point of view. We know that. So, how we're going to do that, that's something that it's very critical, I think. Of what we have to do.
Well, I think we need increasing fines, right? So, because $1,000 fine is going to mean nothing to that.
No, as you see, the way the fining goes in various other communities, that you start off with a warning, and then a 3-stage fine, and that goes to the renter and the owner.
But how high does that fine go? Because
I've seen them as high as $5,000 for the third.
$25,000 in carbon.
Is it?
Yes.
Yeah. Some engineers are still there. I know they do vary all over the place.
I talked to you about 3 months ago in regard to this issue. And we all know it's a growing issue. And it's all through Southern Ontario, all through Central Ontario. I reached out to 8 different municipalities on this. And I started south. I went to Richmond Hill, Aurora, East Glenberry, Newmarket, Simcoe, Severn, Seguin, and Carlin. McDougall hasn't responded. And in each of these cases, in each of these locations, not some, not most, but every one of these municipalities has resolved this problem.
Yep.
So we're really behind here.
Yep. Yep.
Every one of them has addressed it and has been confirmed through the courts that they've got. So we don't have to go too far to find out what we have to do. There was an officer, one of the officers.
Several, in our big package, there's several
municipalities that have all the documents in here, Seaboard and Fort Lakes, etc.
One of the officers that I talked to, and I talked to a lot of the bylaw officers, I said, how did you resolve your problem? And what caused it? He said, he likened it to if you went to your doctor and your doctor said you've got cancer. As a matter of fact, you've got a malignant tumor. And if you don't deal with it immediately, all it's going to do is grow worse and worse and worse. And that's what was brought up at their council meeting. And that's what's going on right here in our community.
12 years.
Right now, yeah, it's probably more than 12 years. But right now, in our community that I know of, there's 5 commercial companies, huge million-dollar, billion-dollar commercial companies that are promoting breaking the law in our community. And people are buying into it. We have,
well, that's the point of this meeting, though, is to...
Yeah, but I think it's important that we understand just how far behind we are and just what's rolling in here. If it's getting worse, you have Expedia.
It's not helping this conversation.
It truly is.
It's just giving us the documentation that he has found in other places, that's all.
But if you look at, there's Cottage Rental, Cottage Link, Expedia, our favorite, Airbnb. Airbnb are a multi-billion-dollar company, American company, that expect to double their income over the next 3 years. And this is a prime area right here now. Real estate people are sending people out here that want to rent, become cottage renter owners, because the other communities aren't allowing it.
Exactly.
They're allowing it here, but the other communities are knocking it down. And there's a this is an article that came out. This was in York Region and covers what they did. And these counselors, what they did was last week council voted to proceed with formal drafting of a new targeting the units being rented out individually or through third party like Airbnb and Expedia. All the councils. Moving forward, they drafted a bylaw which was approved unanimously by every council. So they took this problem that we're having and took it by the horns and resolved it. And we can't drag our feet on this. Let's not candy coat it. Maybe we should do this, maybe we should do that, and regulate. No, you've got to take a stand like these other communities did. You've got to reach out to these other communities. And why was it resolved? So, if you can imagine, if you owned a property, you had it for 20, 25 years, and some guy moved in beside you and said, you're not going to come over to you and said, I'm your new neighbor, and you're not going to see me very much. Because I've got it rented out to 20 different groups of people, and I'm going to do it. And guess what? If you don't like it, too bad, because there's nothing stopping me from doing it. And that's what's going on. These people have really experienced it, and it's being experienced throughout this community. Bylaw here, this is a comprehensive bylaw that was sent to me by Carlin. And they resolved their problem on 5 lines. And it was quite simple. And I'll read it to you, and it's so simple. And that's all we need to do here. Short term,
I disagree. That's all we need to do here. We're here to have
a conversation.
We're having this is a conversation you're telling me right now.
What we will.
You're not on the floor.
What we will. We will also attach this. To the documentation. So that I'm not saying we're not going to
read 5 lines and then I'll step away here. Okay? There's no problem. This particular has 5 lines in it. Short-term accommodation means the use of a dwelling or structure or any part thereof that operates or offers a place of temporary residence, lodging, or occupancy by the way of general concession, lease, rental agreement, or similar commercial arrangement for the period of less than 30 days. Very, very, very important. If you want this and you want to, you know, meet them somewhere along the 30 days. And he told me that was the key thing that they put into their bylaw. And he said, we haven't had a problem since. One thing before I finish.
I just wanted to ask you something.
Okay, sorry. And I'm just going to point out to you, anybody in this group that is supporting commercial short-term rentals are doing it for 3 reasons. Money, money and money. This thing while we want to bring prosperity to the community. That's pride. We want to, you know, it'll bring up the values of your property. Pride. Right now, it is money. Anybody that gets up, look right in their eyes, and it's money. Do they care?
Are you still reading out the five lines?
Okay, well, I said my piece, but I think people understand.
Anybody has any documentation from any other municipality, we will take it in and be part of the documentation on the rental situation. So we appreciate that. I've added in various email links that people have sent me, articles that people have sent me. This whole package is bigger than the package you have. That was just the bylaw of these chief building officers. All sorts of articles in here, except that there's a survey from the MLCA. There's a lot of information. So anything that we can get, then we'll expedite this as soon as possible. Yes, Charlie?
Like the 30 days, I don't think anybody has a problem with somebody like renting to their family or their cousin or their friends or whatever for 30 days for the calendar year and help with their taxes, et cetera. It's when it becomes a business and we all bought whatever based on the zoning that this was not business. So when you buy something, if you want to buy something, then you buy in that zone. But it is not. You bought this and it was not allowed when you bought it. It will say right on your and it, why should it be allowed now? Unless it's a retail. And you pay more money for property that's so commercial, and you pay more taxes. And that's not being done.
Okay, is there any other things to report back about solutions for going forward? So before we get into some other stuff. So, Henry? I'll always recognize you, Henry.
Yeah.
Oh. We don't always agree, but I'll always recognize you.
Anyways, Mayor, and you touched on it there at the beginning of your introduction, that back in 2008, that there was a development proposal by Wyridge, which was 55 standalone timeshares. And as you said, that there was a large uprising against that. An inter-control bylaw was set against commercial properties, legitimate commercial properties, to a maximum of 5 years. I was told at that time it would only be for a year. 4 years later, there came out an amendment to the official plan, and the council at the time agreed on that. They voted on it. They passed it that there would be no more legitimate commercial properties on any waterfront that it already isn't existed at, from that time forward. So if there's no more commercial properties allowed, sorry, I missed out a point. If somebody wanted to put an application to the township to change the property to a commercial property, they have to do studies similar to the studies that this township spent hundreds of thousands of dollars on that official plan. And so if you're saying these, some of the people in this room want to continue their commercial property, their rentals, that's a commercial property. You said that there was a list that Gary had of all the commercial rental cottages. How many of those rental cottages came to before this township since the amendment of the official plan? How many have come before this township and the council and changed their zoning and did the studies? How many of them?
40.
No idea.
Nope.
You said zero. You said that you looked at all the documentation over 12 years. You must know how many came before this township. You've been in, as are we, the mayor for 12 years. Don't you remember how many came before council?
Oh, none came before council.
Oh, okay, zero.
You're correct. I've misinterpreted your question.
So zero came. So none of them have applied to change their zoning. services are they're illegal.
Right.
Yeah, got it.
Okay, so just to, we're going to have the committee go around and pick up your answers.
I've been questioning here for a while.
Oh, I've got a couple questions. I just want to make sure that when we finish this section, we're going to gather those sheets and collate them and get them back to you. And any documentation, I've collected some of your documentation, and most will be in on the website as well. So question back here, yes.
Yeah, we've
state your name, please.
Yeah, it's Tim, and we've got I'm sorry to hear all these horrible stories. This is nasty. I hate it. We do rest about it, and we've had a positive experience. And I would love to get with other owners who are renting to help them, because that should never happen in any of these stories I've heard that are ridiculous. And sometimes people say, well, how do you rent your cottage? How does it work for you? Because I say, no. 80% of my inquiries are no. I rent to families.
So that they can have an experience, a good time there, as we do.
And I say no to all those parties, and I screen them, and I don't use Airbnb, and I there's all these things you can do to make that so much better than it is. So I'd be happy to be a part of speaking to the solution to that for others. And I'm up here all the time. I'm here year-round, like 12 weeks of the year, I'm here as a college here, too. So it's a family cottage, it's not a rental property. So I'm maybe in a bit on my own here, if you maybe with me, but I think there's a lot of us out there that aren't here, and if there's a way to get those guys together or something, maybe that's something.
I actually asked myself if anyone here, I didn't want to ask that question publicly, but if anyone here actually has thought it, if you had to go here, it's good, just on the other side of the conversation.
Yeah, there is definitely a consensus throughout a lot of municipalities that the short-term rental concept has to be very clear to people, and it's not clear in our particular bylaws.
It's illegal.
Michael?
It's illegal, so it's not legal.
Yeah.
So.
Mike Richard. If we look at the history of this problem in our township.
One second, yeah.
We had, as you suggested earlier, we had a prosecution go forward on a complaint, and then the council withdrew that. And since that time, there has been zero enforcement of the bylaw, which prohibits short-term rental. So we have invited people to come here and practice short-term rentals by our lack of enforcement. So recently, as recent as this spring, five properties on the lakeside area sold. One of those properties was sold for $1.2 million. And from my information, that particular purchaser has no intention of ever using the cottage personally and has had, in fact, hired a rental agent. Another property, they called me and wanted to talk about it and said, yeah, we're going to be doing short-term rentals. We can't afford to do it otherwise. So we have the problem of not enforcing, which has created a precedent. Are we going to have an issue if we do try to enforce anything that is prohibitive? We are more than likely going to run into many, many, many legal battles. From my perspective, I think all we're going to do is drive another wedge in this community to split and have two polarities at loggerheads. If we come up with a licensing program that offers enforcement that will be effective and that will stop the issues, and also in conjunction with our other bylaws, stop these issues, then that affords the people who want to do short-term rental and behave accordingly within the standards of the community an opportunity, and those who live adjacent to it an opportunity for recourse.
When do you draw the line when 80% of the lake is rental properties and there's 20%? Where do you draw the line? It's just every place that's sold now is becoming a rental property.
That's why I said the act.
But that's because we have not enforced the bylaw.
It's not zoned for that.
a zoned area, if that's what you want to do.
But we don't enforce.
Well, yes.
Yeah, I know.
People speak.
It is.
There's a
lady in the back that wants to speak on the Zoom here. I don't know if you can hear it, but
you turned up.
We don't have a microphone here. That's the challenge.
Okay, can
saying that the current definition is very vague in the open interpretation,
right.
And it doesn't state that short-term rental is.
Yeah.
Okay, thanks, Leah. Thank you.
Hey, just have one question for the buyers, because how has this influx of rental properties affected a commercial business like yours?
We wound down from 4 cottages down to 1 now.
I'm sorry, couldn't hear you.
We wound down from 4 cottages down to 1. We can't compete with people that are selling or renting out for cash, HST. These are illegal businesses. I just want to touch one thing for Mr. Richard here. Mayor Hopkins, if Mr. Richard is saying that because we've had no enforcement for some time, that there should be some sort of leasing out to these cottagers. The OPP cannot enforce Highway 400 24/7. There are still people going 120, 130, 140 kilometers an hour. I drive it once a week. That doesn't make it legal. That doesn't make it legal for them. So I know what you're saying.
Okay. There's some other questions here, and there was somebody over here. Start back here, and then we'll come up here.
So I'd just like to sort of understand why, if this is such a crisis in the community, we have a week's notice of this meeting, it's not on Zoom so that everybody can participate, and where the action is to reinforce this gentleman that for 12 years we've known that this is an issue and we've done nothing, and now by the committee's own admission, they can do whatever, and then they can be listened to or not, and what is the action plan from this meeting, because this is a crisis. I'd also like on the record that I very fortunately don't live near one of these commercial businesses that sound like hell zones, because I'd be rather more obnoxious than I already am if I did. We have Airbnbs on our road. The first thing they say to us is they bought a place to rent it over. Now, they haven't done anything that I can phone and quote complain about, whether the officer answers the phone or not, but it doesn't mean that I'm still happy with what's going on. So I don't think it can just be people calling in about the party houses that are known businesses, they're number companies. They're happening all over the place. And there needs to be an action plan like years ago. Like, we have 30 people they're talking about it. There's 3,500 taxpayers in the township who probably didn't even know this meeting was happening. And if it were transparent and accessible, what's this?
No, we this I apologize for that.
But
we will get it straightened out.
You're making a good point.
Right. Yeah. Well, I mean,
the fact that act on it is very, very important.
Yes,
it's not to drag it.
Yes, yeah. Another opinion, four stacks of paper. What's the action plan?
Yeah. Well, the action plan is to start here, look at the documentation, get the reports from the
bottom. 5 days notice for a meeting for people to come. Okay. What is that?
Is to involve you.
So, Peter, what's your time frame on this? That would be very important for these people to know. What is the time frame that you think you'll have this resolved? You must have some idea.
My personal one would be to get an interim emergency plan or immediate plan, you know, by fall, the latest. The new council will have to do with the implementation of a series of bylaws, official plan. There's documentation that has to be done. It takes a lot longer. But that doesn't mean we can't take a look at what we have and see what we can do enforcing-wise or non-enforcing-wise and go from there. So that's good. Committee's going to discuss that after. But this was trying to get back to a discussion of the topic. We haven't talked about it for 10 months. So the idea was to try and get back.
Get a reservation.
Well, it's not
COVID, whatever. And meanwhile, this crisis is worse.
Well, we understand that, but this is a start, a restart, if you will. So we're trying.
You know, at least it's a restart. It's not like it's being put on the back burner anymore. No. We're trying to get the whole community together. And yes, short notice didn't work. Not our plan at all.
Zoom, microphones.
Absolutely. Yeah. That's out of control. No, it's not. And I appreciate your concern with that. We are trying to move forward on this, come up with a solution that works for the whole community. Not that one that only works pro, not one that only works against. We're trying to come up with something that works for all taxpayers in this community. And so that we can bring a good plan together with pros and cons to the current council, come up with a plan that is enforceable for the short term, but isn't really going to happen. No bylaw changes are going to happen before the election. That's just the way it is in the time of year. And unfortunately, we had councillors resign last year. We lost committee members because they've moved out of the district. This was short notice. You've got 5-6 committee members that showed up today. We're doing the best we can.
Okay, is there any other questions before we move on? We've got some things that we have to do. Yes.
No, I just want to support our mayor here for a minute. We've had lots of community time to talk time with each other. We've heard, I think, all the major complaints. And I think at this point, I'm sitting here listening to, we're kind of getting into that catch-22 where each now all talking the same stuff over and over and over again. I think it's time that you allow us to move forward on this meeting, and I would dearly love to have anyone, pro or con, take whatever information you have, especially this particular gentleman, and forward it to our mayor so that he can pass it on down to us. And some of the stuff is quite intricate and will save us time and get us moving forward faster because one of our citizens of this township was diligent enough to get through and talk to eight different townships with some great stuff. So if we could move forward on and we'll have another meeting and maybe we can open up again.
That's going to always be
open. And you can test us again as to how far we've gotten and we might have more answers for you. But I think at this point we've matched it as far as we can go and let's to move on, please.
I just have one question about what he said. I'm just curious to know. You did your research, which is interesting and thank you for that. You said eight cities, towns, they dealt with that positively. From your research, after they did all of those measures and put in stuff in the bylaw, if I'm now going to go to Airbnb, as an example, on those eight places, how many of them is I'm going to find? Like, I want to know how effective those measures
are. So, that's what I'm trying to tell you. That information is going to come to us, and we'll be able to have more answers and complete those answers next time.
I'll give you a quick answer. Most of them said that when they recognized it, addressed it, and dealt with it, which we're doing here, we're trying to do here. And then the biggest solution that they came up with was the 30 days. More than half of them said that it was the 30-day timeline that pretty well stopped it. And $25,000 fine.
We do have that 28 days.
Okay, so now, sir, now we're rehashing again. We really want to make it long. We're just
We're going to gather all this information.
Give us a chance.
The next meeting, we will have the documentation. We're going to have the bylaw officer here. We're going to have the chief building officer here put together the report. And you can read all the stuff in the packet. So we're going to go on with some of the business stuff of the committee at this point in time, because we're going to wrap up. I want to wrap up. But you don't produce anything after a two-hour meeting. Okay, so thank you for all that participation. Moving to the committee structure, we have a chair. We haven't got a chair. In terms of reference, say we should have a chair and a vice chair. I personally like co-chairs. So if anybody would like to co-chair, anybody from the committee?
I did the last one.
We don't have anybody.
Okay, I'll go.
We'll have to change the terms of reference.
Okay,
thank you.
No problem.
And we don't have a vice, we have two secretaries. That's okay. So we have a co-chair, so we don't need that. Okay, with the committee, there's some terms of reference that were done originally a year ago that are probably somewhere have to be changed. Whether we have 7 to 11 members is a question for the committee, and we'd have to go through and get it reapproved. We originally thought that we should have members of certain committees that were critical, like the Business Economic Development Committee, the MLCA, on the committee. We don't have a Business Economic Development Committee, so that has to be removed. And 6 volunteers is probably not the right number. I have to figure out what our number should be as volunteers. So that these are some of the changes that have to be done. The public meetings, all the meetings, I can guarantee you, will be open to the public. So you don't have to worry about that. But we'll try and give as much notice as we possibly can. It had to go through council at the last meeting, and then I left for 9 days, so I tried to get it approved at the 14th meeting of June, so we could have it for today before the end of the summer, so we could get as many people here as we could. Sorry about the lack of technical stuff. I'm just there. So, and there's some editorial things there. So, we're trying to find a next time for a meeting. I don't know what the wishes of the community. 1 month.
I think that's if we can do it.
Thank you.
Within one calendar.